الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درود شریف پڑھ لیں. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. After the demise of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an, the man who succeeded him is Yazid bin Muawiyah. Yazid is actually the son of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Yazid is a very controversial figure in the annals of Islamic history. But from the outset, what we need to understand is the message of the Quran. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us, the believers, to do. When we look at the guidelines given to us in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Ascertain the truth. Ascertain the truth. When you speak about someone generally, it's important that you give the correct message, the description of that individual. Otherwise it will be accusations and allegations. You have to be very careful. And so with regards to Yazid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned also فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Well, not about Yazid himself, but in the Quran Allah says فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Ascertain the truth. A person has to be very impartial, very neutral. Otherwise, if he has this biased opinion or a preconceived opinion, that even before reading about an individual in his mind, he's positive about someone or negative about someone, then in reality this man will be completely be blind from the truth, from haqq. Haqq will not open up to him. And so you have to be impartial, you have to be very neutral when you talk about an individual. When we look at the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as rahmatul lil alameen. What a great Nabi. But we see that many people in the city of Makkah Mukarrama were deprived from iman. Why were they deprived? Again, the same sickness, the same disease. That even before meeting Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had taken on this biased stance against Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This dogmatic approach about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would not even speak to him or give themselves a chance and opportunity to communicate with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But immediately, oh, this man has something new for us, a message that turns us away from the religion of our forefathers. And so they did not want to speak to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of that, Allah deprived them. They were not impartial, they were not open to the reality to face Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is what the Quran says. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ. Don't listen to the Quran, don't listen to the Kalam that is revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Don't even look at him, don't even get close to him. Why? Because if you listen to him, then what will happen is that you will give in. You will give in. So they had this opinion. They became stubborn and they did not want to listen to the truth. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived them from Iman. And so when it comes to Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and his son Yazid, we have to make sure that whatever we say, it is authentic. It is authentic, and that it is mentioned in the narrations and the riwayat that are sahih. And so inshallah, with this in mind, we should listen attentively so that we have a clear understanding of who Yazid is, this individual who's very controversial in the annals of Islamic history. The first thing we need to understand is that why did Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an want to select his own son to be his successor? Why would he want to select his own son to be his successor? Now, aliyadhu billah, you have this powerful propaganda spin that comes from the Shia sect, who thrive at any opportunity given to them, any opportunity given to them, to demonize the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam by concealing the truth. So this is what they do. This is what the Shia do. Don't look at their beards, don't look at their black amama, and don't look at who they are. Allahu Akbar. If you ever have an opportunity to be with them and to sit with them and to read their books, that is the time everything opens up. I mean, even the munafiqeen during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would come to the front saf of Masjid-e-Nabwi at Fajr time, but Allah declares them as munafiqeen. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Open up Surah Munafiqun. And so you have one lobby, one group of people just waiting at any opportunity that aliyazu billah, any one chance to make a mockery of a sahabi, and they feel that they have achieved something. They foul mouth the companions in their books, in their lectures, in their channels, in everything about Shia. Study their books. And so this was a good opportunity for them to breed on. What an opportunity. Let us target Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. That Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an was a selfish man, aliyazu billah, and that he wanted to hold on to power and fame and name, and therefore he nominated his own son. He nominated his own son, so that power remains with him. Allahu Akbar. Allah save us. That is the opinion of those who are very biased in their approach and who don't understand the ranking of a sahabi. And the other approach, of course, is of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaat, that Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an selected his son because of genuine, sincere reasons accepted in the Sharia. Now, before we explain that, we are talking about a Sahabi. A Sahabi taking a decision. This is not Maulana Dawood or Maulana Muhammad of Masjid-e-Umar taking a decision. Or this is not Imam Bukhari or Imam Muslim or Imam Tirmizi saying something. Or this is not Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani saying something. This man, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, is that man who Allah praises in every chapter of the Quran because he was a Sahabi. So we are actually talking about a Sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Quran is full of praise of a Sahabi. This man has narrated 163 hadith directly from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so what he says, سَمِعْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ, I have heard from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying this 163 times, 163 hadith. And people like Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an have also narrated from Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. And so let's see who we are actually talking about, who this individual is. And he is also the brother-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the sister of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an was married to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. And this is the same man who Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself gifted his own kurta, his own qamis, which later on became the kafan of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, that bury me in and shroud me in the kurta of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so this man is a sahabi, and we can continue with regards to the virtue of a sahabi and Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, but we stop here. Now it is this man who selected his own son as his successor. Now, just to give you an understanding, alhamdulillah, many scholars have written and have given reasons as to why Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an had taken this decision. But perhaps if we go back, the best research comes from Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayh and his celebrated article of Al-Muqaddama, which he has written. And in there he has written and explained to the Ummah as to why Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an had taken this decision. Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayh is a great scholar of this Ummah. And in the beginning he says, for a man to become an Amir, an Imam or a Khalifa, a leader of the Muslim Ummah, what he has to understand, the first sabak, the first lesson is that he needs to take care of the religious affairs of the Ummah first. So he has to understand Sharia. Of course, he has to be a pious individual, a man who understands the Quran, Sharia, the Quran. He can be an imam. And also at the same time, he understands the worldly affairs of this ummah. So he has to take care of the religious affairs and also the worldly affairs of this ummah. And when this individual is appointed as an amir or as a khalifa, there is again another term which the ulama have used, what is known as wilayat-e-ahad. Now, wilayat-e-ahad is a terminology which the scholars use, which actually means that Sharia has opened up the doors for that leader, for an amir or for a khalifa, to actually nominate someone to be his successor after his demise. Because if he has been elected as the leader of the Muslims, obviously he's a well-wisher for the Ummah. And part of his moral obligation would be to think that if I depart from this dunya, who will be the next man to take control? And so he's thinking about it. So that this Ummah continues in its legacy. And so, alhamdulillah, Islam is always there, increasing in its strength and in its foundation. And so this is called wilayat-e-ahad, for someone to think in his lifetime, who will succeed me? And Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayh actually gives us an example. He says, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not choose anyone in particular, but he did ishara. And we've covered that in our transfer of khilafat, was at Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. But again, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was unanimously selected by all of the companions. I mean, it would be horrendous for someone to think that you can have Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an above a senior man like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hazrat Ali, of his own virtue. Hazrat Uthman, of his own virtue. Hazrat Umar, of his own virtue. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, these were elite individuals. And so, there was no dispute. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq became the Khalifa. Now, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq acted upon the Vilayati Ahad. And what he did is that in his lifetime, he gathered all the companions and he said to them, I am nominating Umar ibn al-Khattab to be your leader. And so that everybody could hear. Now, you can't have in one time two khalifas for the ummah. This would be wrong, of course. You can't have two amirs. And so what would happen is that an amir can nominate, the khalifa can nominate someone, but then it would be after his demise for the Muslim community, for the masses to select that individual. That this was also a nomination that comes from the Khalifa. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said to the people, I am the Khalifa and I am still alive, but I am nominating who? Hazrat Umar. And he did not give the choice to the companions. And he said, this is my selection, I am choosing Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And after the demise of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, everyone did bay'ah at the hands of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Again, Hazrat Umar in his lifetime was concerned about who would be the leader after him. Because these were sincere people. And so he also acted upon the Vilayati Ahad. And what he did is that he selected six companions. And these six companions were from the Ashre Mubashara. And he said that from amongst the six, anyone could be the Khalifa after me. And so finally what had happened is that complete authorization was given to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala an, and he had to choose between Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Uthman, and all six agreed. So it was either going to be Hazrat Ali or Hazrat Uthman after Umar ibn al-Khattab, and this authorization was given to Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf himself says that I felt it was difficult who to choose between Ali and Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. But he chose Hazrat Uthman thinking that he felt that perhaps Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an would be the right man to adhere strictly to the life of the Shaykhain, as in the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in his opinion, that he would be more strict. And therefore he selected Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. So you have to select someone. And of course, after Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, it was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and this difficulty that came with the people of Syria. We've all, alhamdulillah, bifazlillahi ta'ala, we've covered that, and I wish not to repeat. But again, we see here Vilayati Ahad, that a man who is a Khalifa in his lifetime can actually choose someone to succeed him. And so what Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an did, was nothing contrary to Sharia. Nothing contrary to Sharia, it was permissible. And so in his lifetime, he selected his own son. Now the question is, can someone select his own son to be his successor? Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayh, the great scholar of this ummah, says that this is also permissible if the father, who is the Khalifa, is sincere and genuine, and he feels that the best individual to lead the Muslim Ummah would be this individual, then that would be fine, even if that individual is directly the son of the Khalifa. So that would also be right. So there is nothing wrong. And so Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayh has mentioned that there is no blemish for Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, for him to nominate his son. And of course, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah could only nominate Yazid, but it was with the people thereafter, when Hazrat Amir Muawiyah passed away, It was the people, the masses, the group of people, the Muslim community, they elected Yazid as their leader. And so basically, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and what he did is completely what Sharia wanted him to do. Just like Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and after him, a lot of people decided that after Hazrat Ali, it should be the son of Hazrat Ali who is Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. And so this was something that was accepted. These were all great individuals. Now, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was sincere. That is important. We need to understand that he was very sincere in nominating his son. The picture that the Shia regime give us, that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, oh look at this man, there were so many people available, but then he still decides to select his own son Yazid. Allahu Akbar. We dare not speak about this great man, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, in this manner. In fact, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an was so confident about Yazid. Obviously, he could just judge about an individual who was amongst his family members, of course. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah did not know of Ghaib. He could not predict the future, that what will happen in the future. And this bleak picture that we have of Yazid is only due to the events of Karbala. Had the events of Karbala did not occur, maybe we would have had a different opinion about this man who's Yazid. And this event of Karbala did not occur during the time of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. And so Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an's selection was only that he felt that he has given enough guidance to his son. The son would pray his salah. The son was a man who, a reciter of the Quran. He was a qari of the Quran. And a man who was mutasharri. And also a great mujahid. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah from an early age had given so much responsibility. So that if time would come and if he had to take the responsibility, there's maturity in Yazid. Now just to give you one example. Remember the expedition of Qustuntunia? Qustuntunia, Constantinople. What is Qustuntunia? Istanbul. You know, Islambul. What is it? These are the enemies of Islam that have changed Islambul into Istanbul. Okay. This is the mockery they do. What has Urdun got to do with Jordan? Urdun is in Arabic. But the enemies of Islam don't like anything to do with Islam. So Urdun becomes Jordan. Delhi becomes Delhi. Delhi becomes Delhi. And what's Misr got to do with Egypt? Imagine. Misr. In Islam it's Misr. Misr means, okay, Egypt. Now look at the name. Egypt, Misr. Any relevance? Why? Enemies of Islam. Egypt, again, they want to give us this message that it's from Qibt. It is from Qibt, the people of Qibt. These were the Firauni people, the Qibt. And so that's where you get the name Egypt. And so we have to be very, very careful. Islambul is actually Islamabad. Islambul is actually Islamabad. But the enemies have twisted it and have named it Istanbul. Allah save us. Ahmedabad is not actually Ahmedabad. What is it? It is Ahmedabad. 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 The history is again very rich. Now the first expedition, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah is actually the Khalifa, and he appointed his son Yazid as an Amir of that Lashkar to go and launch an attack upon Constantinople. Now, under him were companions. People like Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, the son of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Abdullah ibn Zubair, Abdullah ibn Umar, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. So you had Sahaba ikiram ajma'een, but who was the Amir? Yazid. Because the father was a Khalifa and he felt that this man has got the potential. That this man was charismatic and he felt that he had the qualities to lead the people. And so genuinely, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah did think that Alhamdulillah, I have trained him, and that my son would be the best person to look after this position. Obviously, he has no knowledge of the unseen, which is what will happen in the future. And so, during his lifetime, he could see that the son was mutasharra', would listen to him, was a man of great scholarship, a man of wisdom, so he would be the right individual. But Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayh also gives us another explanation, which is very important for us to understand. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an had ruled for 20 years, a man of great wisdom. Remember, the civil war that occurred before him, and then he took control of everything. Now what we need to understand, that from the time of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, until the last days of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, the main faction of the Islamic Ummah at that time was actually with the Banu Umayyad, the Umayyah tribe. Now this tribe was the most powerful tribe. These were the people who had the control. They were the governors, powerful people, elite individuals, educated individuals. And so from the time of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, until the end of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, the most powerful people, even amongst the Quraysh, the most powerful was the tribe of Umayyah. And this was actually the tribe of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and the tribe of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. So they became a dominant group of people in the Islamic Empire. Very powerful people. Why? Because you could never trust the people of Kufa. That inshallah, if Allah wills, we will continue in the next session. Why Hazrat Amir Muawiyah had taken this step. Now Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala knew that after the civil war, everything has been stabilized. Everything has been stabilized. And then to come and rock the boat again would not be the right thing to do. So Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala insisted, he knew that the Banu Umayyad would never accept a man to be a leader outside from their tribe. Because these were the powerful people. Everything was under them. And so possibly if there was a man outside from their tribe who would become the Khalifa, there would be another civil war. There might be more ikhtilaf. And so Hazrat Amir Muawiyah knew exactly that of course you still have Hazrat Hussein who is alive, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar who is a Sahabi alive, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala who is alive, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair, Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Abu Bakr, Abdullah ibn Abbas, all of these companions were still there, but for him to choose Yazid was to him the right political move. The right political move, thinking that again wherever you go, the people of power are the Banu Umayyad and they will to the least accept Yazid, because Yazid is from Banu Umayyah and he is also the son of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. And Amir Muawiyah sincerely felt that subhanallah, this man, this child will take on the reins properly. And so that is why he did not want to instigate any kind of disunity and ikhtilaf amongst the Muslim world, that region at that time, because the Umayyads were powerful people, and he felt that let me nominate Yazid, and thereafter it is up to the people. And so he nominated his son Yazid. After his demise, it is up to the people. And that is why we see that everyone actually accepted Yazid as their Khalifa. Everyone, majority of the people, except for four individuals. How many individuals? Four individuals. Four individuals did not accept the leadership of Yazid. But these four individuals were, by Allah, the most powerful individuals. But they did not accept the Khilafat of Yazid. Now, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was very sincere. We have to understand that he is a Sahabi. And for him to give that position to his son was only for the pleasure of Allah. It was for the pleasure of Allah. You cannot even think Allahu Akbar, a man like Amir Muawiyah doing it for name and fame. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned this authentic narration. He says that just to give the ummah an understanding of how sincere Amir Muawiyah was when he actually selected his son Yazid, that on a Jummah, Yawmul Jumu'ah, he came to the Jamia Masjid and he sat on the pulpit and he said to the people that, listen to me carefully. And he looked up and he says, Allah, you are my witness. If I have selected my son Yazid to be my successor because of this paternal love that a man has, a father has for his son, and for selfish reasons, then Allah, don't make him my successor. But if I have chosen Yazid only for your pleasure, and only because that I feel that he is competent, and that he is the right individual to steer the ummah in the right direction, then Ya Allah, let him be my successor after my demise. This narration is mentioned by Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh. And so here we see who in the masjid would want to speak about his son in this manner. He would want to hide something if there was something wrong, Ali Azubillah. And again, Ibn Kathir also mentions that Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was so adamant, and in fact, he was so confident that perhaps Yazid was the right individual politically. Of course, in ranking, you had Sahaba Ikram Ajmain who was still there. But looking at the political climate there with the Banu Umayyads to be powerful people, he had to see everything with the wider picture. And so he felt that, okay, this would be the best move. Now there's another individual whose name is Sa'id. Sa'id is the son of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. So Hazrat Sa'id came to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah and said to him that after his discussion, that perhaps Yazid would be the one who would succeed him. So he said that, I feel that I am more superior than Yazid. Yazid. Sa'id said, who is the son of Hazrat Uthman, that I am more superior than Yazid. Now Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and looked at him and he said to him, that my son Sa'id, your father is Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, the third Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me tell you something, that your father is better than the father of Yazid. Your father is far more superior than the father of Yazid. And then he said that your mother is also far more superior than the mother of Yazid. The mother of Yazid was from the Banu Kalb tribe. And the mother of Sa'id was from the Quraysh tribe. And so he said that even your mother is more superior than my wife, as in the mother of Yazid. And then he said, but as for your statement that you feel you are better than Yazid, Amir Muawiyah said, I object to that. I feel that Yazid is far more superior than you. Because being an Amir, being a father for 20 years, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an had trained him and made him an Amir and had sent him to jihad expeditions. And so he was very close to his father as a general. And so Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an felt that realistically he would be the right individual to save the ummah from any kind of difficulty, because he was also from the Banu Umayyad. Not because of preserving the Umayyad tribe, no. But only to save the ummah from disunity. And so we need to understand that, inshaAllah ta'ala. In the next session, we will continue as to the difficulties that came from the Kufi people, and also thereafter leading on to the events of Karbala. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tuba alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa atana ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.